Hello, and welcome to Conversations with Lee Fulkerson, a series of podcasts from Plant Pure Nation. I'm Lee Fulkerson, and my guest today is Marcy Madrid. She has been Vice President of Planning and Marketing for Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland, Texas, since 2014. Before that, she was an award-winning morning show anchor and reporter for the local NBC affiliate. She also currently sits on several local community boards, including the March of Dimes and Communities in Schools. Welcome aboard, Marcy.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Great. So first off, you draw a distinction between health care and sick care. What's the difference and why is it important?
Well, sick care is the business that we've really been in for the past few decades, in the healthcare industry at least. People come to us when they're sick, and in a very reactive approach, we make them better and send them on their way, hoping it sticks. Unfortunately, many times it doesn't stick, and many of the people healthcare workers are fighting to save from their sickness end up right back in our care, facing the same battles, the same sickness over and over again. It's really disheartening for those healthcare workers that are working so hard to make them better. Now, true healthcare, that I believe, is what many of those who get into this business really desire. We really want to make people better so they can stay better, spend more time with their loved ones, see their kids graduate from college and get married, and really live a vibrant life. Now, when clinicians fight so hard to save a life or save someone from the chronic sickness that's just crippling them, I don't think any of them want anything less than complete and final healing and restoration and a true second chance at a healthy life. That's the kind of healthcare business that we want to be in, because that's really the kind of purposeful and life-changing career that we all got in this business to have in the first place.
That's a great answer. So what are the particular challenges you face in Texas regarding the funding of your healthcare system?
Well, as changes brought on through the Affordable Care Act continue to be implemented, the government has begun cutting the reimbursements that hospitals like ours receive to care for those using Medicaid and Medicare as their insurance provider. So that's who pays us for caring for those patients. The cuts are designed to fund the Medicaid expansion that's happening across the country right now, that's actually allowing more people to get onto a government-funded insurance program. So they're cutting the reimbursements that hospitals are receiving to pay for the Medicaid, Medicare patients so that they can put more money into the pool to get more people insured. So for hospitals, that really means that more people will be insured, so there'll be more income coming in for the treatment of those people who before likely couldn't afford to pay their medical bills. It makes sense if you have Medicaid expansion and you do have more people insured. The problem in Texas is that our state government opted out of Medicaid expansion. So no matter what your political preference may be, the end result of this kind of a structure is really a loss for government-funded, not-for-profit hospitals like ours in Texas. So we're losing the government support for patients that we still take care of. We still take care of these patients. We're just getting paid less to do so, yet we're not reaping the benefits of more people being insured to help offset those losses.
That's a huge challenge. So how do you see plant-based nutrition helping to overcome these challenges that you face?
Well, I think it's important to note that our decisions to support and promote a plant-based diet in our community was not really directly connected to overcoming these challenges. It's a whole other issue we're having to face, and we're still searching for those answers and what the right decisions are to find some stability and sustainability in this ever-changing healthcare climate. Now, what the plant-based diet does offer our health system and our community as a whole is hope. While we battle through the financial challenges on the legislative and the political front, we have found a renewed hope as it relates to our corporate and our personal missions to improve the health of our fellow men and women. Whereas before, chronic diseases and failing health issues were looked at as a life sentence, the research and science behind plant-based nutrition proves that's really not the case. Each of us has more control than we ever realized over our current and future health, and we don't have to be slaves to doctor's visits and treatments and more medications just because our parents and our grandparents were. sharing that good news and encouragement with those who are broken and hurting and looking to us for answers, that makes for an exciting time to be in the healthcare business right now. Now, the only thing that would make that better and more rewarding is if we could find a way to pay for those services, make money off of making people healthier. That's just not the way the system is structured right now, because then we could actually sustain our mission by sustaining our business. Right now, for our organization in particular, and I'm sure for many others, that's the million-dollar question we're trying to answer. How do we fulfill this mission of making people healthier under the current structure that pays for people being sick, you know,
that
pendulum shift we're right in the middle of?
So, yeah, if you run out of sick people, you're out of business, essentially.
Right. Just because it's not structured right now to pay us for making people healthier. Hopefully that's where we're headed, but we're not there today. So we've got this gap we have to overcome.
There you go. So you recently had a plant-based nutrition conference, and could you describe that and the response of the participants?
Oh, sure. So on April 2nd, and it was through the encouragement and help of several of our local physicians, really, but we were able to bring in some of the nation's top speakers on plant-based nutrition, people that you probably know really well, such as Dr. Michael Greger, author of NutritionFacts.org, Dr. William C. Roberts, Dr. Scott Stoll, and of course, Nelson Campbell and his wife were there. I think we all went into this really not knowing what to expect related to the turnout and interest of our community, since this was really the first event like this we've ever done, the first time we've ever talked about this topic broadly. But what we found is that people in our community were hungry for this type of information, no pun intended. We had over 500 people register. Most of all of them showed up. I think we were at like 492 on the day of.
Wow.
And they stayed for almost the full day conference. And, you know, we're not a huge community. That was a pretty big turnout. Me and several of my colleagues had a number of the attendees contact us during the event and after the event. We're still getting emails and phone calls from people expressing their extreme gratitude for bringing this to West Texas. Many of them use the term life-changing. The fire has definitely been sparked in West Texas, and it's only spreading as more and more people learn about this and begin really reaping the personal benefits of practicing the lifestyle themselves.
That's really exciting, which leads me in talking about personally. Do you personally follow a plant-based diet?
Yes, I do. I have been since November of last year.
Okay. November of last year. And have you seen any changes or improvements in your health and your sense of well-being since then?
I certainly have. So right around the time, it was actually around October, November last year, that I was first introduced on a professional level to this diet philosophy by some of our local physicians. And they brought me in really because they wanted some administrative support from the hospital on these things that they were promoting and the events they wanted to do. So around the same time, I began reading about the research and watching the documentaries just to inform myself. And then I myself ended up being, at the same time, I mean, within weeks of all this happening, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which was a huge shock for someone who I thought I was always relatively healthy and fit. So after taking the prescribed medication and going on all the routines after you get a diagnosis like this, I went through the routine for about a month. And at that time, I knew I had to find another way if I wanted to continue my life as I knew it. The medication crippled me, body, mind, and spirit, and really made me feel worse than the MS symptoms had made me feel.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, there had been a lot of research completed by Dr. Swank, Dr. McDougall, on the connection between health issues like MS and diet. So that was really all the reason I needed to switch from the medication that was just ruining me to using food as medicine, really. So since then, I've felt better than I've had in a long time. I have more energy. I don't have to take energy pills. My mind has so much more clarity. And best of all, I've had no new or progressing lesions in my follow-up MRIs. I've had follow-up and nothing has progressed. Everything's been looking really good so far. Emotionally, there is something so gratifying about knowing that I have control over my health and I'm not having to live day by day at the mercy of some drug drug that's wreaking havoc on my body like so many people in this nation do.
Yeah.
And that's a feeling that I wish everyone who has been diagnosed with some similar disease or disorder could experience. Honestly, I believe it was the grace of God in my life that aligned me to this information at such an opportune mm-hmm. time. And the information to me really shows how God's design for food was always better for our bodies than any of the Frankenfood that man has come up with since.
That's incredible. I know MS is just a really pernicious disease, and so many people see it as basically a death sentence. And
right.
and for these changes to have occurred, and for you to have caught it early, too, I think is fantastic. I'm very happy for you, first of all, personally, and I just think
yeah.
that that's a great thing to share with others who might be listening in. So you've touched on this already, but you're in the process of coming to terms with a new system that requires you to do a lot more with a lot less resources. How do you see plant-based nutrition helping in this process?
Okay. Well, so as I mentioned earlier, like many other health systems right now, we're currently trying to find those answers of how we can both fulfill our social responsibility and mission of
yeah.
improving people's health while remaining financially viable and able to keep the doors open, which is obviously important. Today, it does cost more to offer this kind of proactive health care along with the traditional reactive health care because the current system only pays us for the latter. They pay us for the reactive, not so much for the proactive. What I think we all hope is that a new system of healthcare delivery will soon begin emerging out of this movement where we are lessening the need for unnecessary reactive healthcare and all the resources it takes to provide it, while increasing the efforts in this proactive healthcare and improved health literacy about things like plant-based nutrition, and also finding some consistent funding streams to help pay for those additional resources needed. That way, it can help fund it. You know, we're not a big profit-making business and not-for-profit
mm-hmm.
healthcare, but we want to at least cover our costs so we can keep the doors open and keep functioning. It is a slow pendulum swing that will likely take a lot of time, and there will probably be a loss in the beginning. We're all kind of seeing that now. But hopefully, we'll be able to keep our heads above water long enough for us to get to the shore on the other side. I think that's what we're aiming for. You know, we might have to hold our breath for a little bit while things are shifting, but if we can just make it to where, you know, the tides start coming down and we can get to the higher ground, and that's what we're hoping for.
What about, does government have a role to play here, and state, federal, anything? And have you seen any interest in government in doing things like this?
You know, I'm not sure what's going on the government front. I know with the political changes ahead of us, we're all watching very carefully to see how that might impact the way the Affordable Care Act has been playing out and how that might shift things. The government has seemed to be putting more emphasis and responsibility on the shoulders of hospitals to control the health of the community. So they really are expecting hospitals to take control of the community's health because we're the main benefactors of the funds the government has through Medicaid and Medicare funding. So we get reimbursed for taking care of their patients. So if they want something to change in the care of people that they're paying for, we're the only ones they can impact. They can cut our funding, they can increase our funding, they can incentivize us for different things. So we do see them trying to create more programs that that are calling healthcare systems to be more proactive in healthcare, cut down on length of stays, on preventable readmissions, things of that nature. So I see some movement in that direction. There's just not a lot of support, and there's not a lot of financial support or the way the structure is today to really pay for those things. I'm hoping that's the direction that we're going since they're making us more responsible for those things. But there's just it's using existing money in the pot and moving the money around. It's not providing additional money to provide these additional services because, again, in Texas, we still have a huge bank of uninsured people that we have to take care of, and there's no new funding sources to keep doing that.
like that. Yeah. Do you see a growing demand from the public for services like this?
I do. You know, like I said, I think people were hungry for a better answer to their healthcare dilemmas, because people have been confused, and people are looking for better answers and how they can take better care of themselves without having to be a slave to medications and doctor's appointments. And this, I feel, is, at least using plant-based nutrition as the model and helping people be healthier themselves, is an answer that people have been looking for. It's just trying to get that information to people and then dealing with the adoption, the engagement of an individual in their own healthcare, which is a whole other issue, you know, we have to contend with.
So do you think plant-based nutrition has a national role to play in improving our healthcare system?
I think if we can find that secret that I alluded to earlier of how to make people healthier and still cover our cost to do so, it would have huge implications on the national system of healthcare delivery and the rising cost associated with it. We know these costs are just exploding every year. Now, not everyone's going to choose to live this way. You know, it's hard. It does take some sacrifice on the front end. And because of that, we're always going to maintain a portion of our business devoted to sick care and reactive care.
Sure.
But how wonderful would it be if people who before didn't realize they had a choice discovered that they did, and they were able to avoid unnecessary healthcare costs and stress and pain for them and their loved ones? You know, think of all the savings our government would experience if they didn't have to reimburse government-funded entities like ours much, because people were educated on how to take back control of their own health and prevent these unnecessary healthcare issues and doctor's visits. Every step we take in this direction of improving one more person's overall health is that much closer that we get to climbing out of this hole we've gotten ourselves into over the years.
Yeah, I think one of the great, and I've said this before, but one of the great things about this the plant-based nutrition approach is that it doesn't require government intervention. It doesn't require anything like that. People can do it on their own, you know, and as long as they have the information about it and they know about it and they believe that it will have an impact, they can just do it on their own. And so it doesn't require anything anybody else to come in. But of course, greater awareness and education is really a key in all of this. People need to understand and know about this before they can do anything about it.
And restructuring of the payment models, you know, on the healthcare system's end, to where we're moving more towards, you know, not just paying for every service provided, but the overall care of someone and providing more resources for organizations like ours to provide more proactive healthcare, sending people out and keeping them healthy before they end up in our care.
No kidding. So how was the change for you? Did you find it difficult at first, or was it easy changing to a plant-based diet?
You know, for me, because it was because I faced it in such an extreme situation where there was a disease process in my view, and the choice was this medication, which is just destroying me, and, you know, I've got young kids at home and a very active life and an active job, and to be down for a day was just, you know, threw my whole world into havoc, and there were several days like that. So to me, it made it a lot easier to fully commit because the alternative just wasn't worth it. I've always thought I was pretty healthy. You know, my family grew up farming and we ate lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. So I really liked spinach and kale and all those things that some people never get in their diet. So that wasn't a far stretch for me. I just also grew up under the standard Western culture of marketing, thinking that, you know, grilled chicken and eggs are good sources of protein, and get your dairy and, you know, low-fat cheese and all that kind of stuff. So the inside of my body wasn't as healthy as it could have been, and I had some addictions issues that I had to get rid of, and really the psychology behind changing the way that you've always thought to this new way of thinking and breaking some of those habits. But again, for people like me, I think, that are facing a severe disease process issue or a choice between food or medication, it makes it a little bit easier of a choice than someone that's otherwise healthy and just doing this to be more healthy, you know.
Exactly. So,
or they think they're healthy.
Yeah, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. They think they're healthy. They're not there, really. They're going to get sick.
Right.
So what was the attitude of your family and your kids about your change? Did they join you on the journey or did they stay where they were?
Well, my husband has obviously been very supportive. He's also been involved in a lot of the education that we've been bringing to our community. Whenever we brought Button Nelson and Kim Campbell in for a viewing of Plant Purination, he came to the viewing with me. He had a chance to chat with Nelson and Kim. So he's a pretty smart, logical guy when he's presented with such obvious data and compelling research, it was easy for him to say, okay, well, this makes complete sense. And since my diagnosis was so fresh and timely, we were able to ask really good questions to people that knew a lot about the topic. And so I think knowing why I was doing it and the impact on my health, and he saw what the medication was doing to me. He knew that wasn't me, and that surely wasn't what God had for me. So he saw the difference in the way I was eating, and he knew the research and data behind why I was doing it. So he's full on board with me doing it. Now, of course, it was a harder transition for him because he wasn't facing the severe disease issue. You know, it's harder to get all in when you don't have that strong of a pull, but he has been little by little doing more and more. And what's great to see is that stuff that he would normally, look at as, he wasn't a big vegetable guy. He's Hispanic and he grew up in a traditional Hispanic household where there's lots of beans and rice and tortillas and cheese and lard. Not a lot of fruits and vegetables, but as I've been introducing more meals, he's pleasantly surprised at how good they taste. So he'll eat them if I make them. And he's like, this isn't so bad. I didn't know I'd like kale so much. Now the effects that he's been seeing, I think he's lost like 20 pounds, just dabbling, doing it as it's convenient, feels so much better. He sees the difference in how he feels when he eats like this versus what he would normally eat. Sleeps better, wakes up with more energy. So just the personal results he's seen, he's kind of putting all those conclusions together as, okay, I know this is better for me. I know it's really good for my wife. I know this is the direction I need to head in. I'm going to take baby steps to get there. But he's doing more and more and obviously very supportive.
That's great. What about your kids? How old are they and what's their reaction then?
Okay, so I don't know if you have that much time left, but I have a lot of kids. I have twin girls that are almost two. I have a 5-year-old girl, a 7-year-old boy, a 19-year-old, and a 21-year-old that we just took in.
Wow.
So we've got a big family. Now, the older ones that can make logical decisions, but are also still succumb to the addiction,
sure.
they're coming on board more and more and they have their cheat moments, but they're like my husband. I know this makes sense. I know it makes me feel better. I'm going to make these decisions as often as possible. The 5 and 7-year-old are kind of, I don't quite understand why mom is eating this way. I know she tells me it's healthier, but I still want my cheeseburger and chicken nuggets. So I've been gradually trying to educate them and not trying to be food police, but just let them know, hey, I really would like for you to eat this because it makes you healthier and it makes me happy for you to be healthier because it makes you stronger and, faster in your sports and things like that. So I try to educate them without forcing it on them. And they make good decisions sometimes and bad decisions others, and I'm trying to have a lot of grace. The twins, they're kind of too young to have an opinion, so they eat whatever I give to them, and thankfully they're good eaters. So they basically eat whatever I make, I just give to them, and they love vegetables. I've always given them fresh fruits and vegetables, so that wasn't a shock to them anyway. It is hard, though, I think, for any mom or parent, when your eyes are opened to this information and all the data out there about how bad dairy is and milk and cheese and, all these things that you've been giving your kids thinking you're helping them. Suddenly your eyes are opened and it's like, but your kids don't understand it from the same perspective and they still want those things. And you don't want to take everything away because then they'll just resent you for it. But still giving my kid a glass of milk or a chicken nugget is like, oh, I cringe now. It's so hard. It's like, you know, the difficulty with knowledge, you know, it hurts now to give them some of those foods. And I just pray for grace and, you know, and healing as it's going in their body because I know it's not good for them.
Well, I think the good information will push out the bad information. Ultimately, I have a lot of faith in that process. So I see a greater awareness among the younger people I've talked to. And so I am really optimistic. So, you know, I think your efforts will be crowned with success.
I hope so. I'm hoping that coming at it from an educational and a love. I love my kids. I love you guys. I want you to be healthy. It makes mommy happy for you to have energy and be healthy. And I know that donut tastes good, but it's not good for you. It's not good for your inside. So I'm hoping that will, you know, train a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, won't depart from it. I hope they, you know, keep these things in their mind. And when they become logical thinkers, they can make those good decisions for themselves and know that I never forced it on them. I allowed them to make wise choices.
There you go. I think that's a smart mom, a mother's wisdom, which you can't overestimate. So what factors do you think are preventing the wider adoption of plant-based nutrition in America?
Well, we are a society that thrives on convenience and pleasure. I think we could all agree on that. If it makes us happy and it helps us do something quicker, we're all in, right? Although that has led to some positive technological achievements and overall efficiency gains in our the Western culture, it has also led to an overstressed, overcommitted, and pleasure-crazed nation. Food distributors have been rising to this challenge, obviously, and creating more and more of these frankenfoods that are cheaper, they're faster to prepare, you know, stick in the microwave real quick. And they excite our taste buds more and more. That's what they're always trying to do, is excite our taste buds. Unfortunately, it's these same foods that are leading to a steady rise in chronic and preventable diseases and obesity. So, which eventually results in more time spent in hospitals and doctor's offices and more money spent on the reactive healthcare. I think if people could just see the bird's eye view perspective and step back and look at what these shortcuts lead to in the long run, they could realize that the opportunity cost, which is the health that they're giving up today for more time or money or convenience, really ends up costing them much more in the long run.
Yeah, it's really kind of frightening for me to see that, you know, the advertising on TV for like the dollar menu at these fast food places, and you can get a pile of food for a buck, but it's all
it's not like food.
No, it's just
it's like random ingredients thrown together to make something that looks like food, but it's really not food, you know?
No, it's not. So, in your view, what does the future hold for the wider adoption of plant-based nutrition by the American public?
Well, I think I'm hopefully seeing this as a glass half full, you know, perspective. I feel like I'm pretty positive, but I think we've only scratched the surface of what's to come in this movement. I think people are tired of being tired. They're sick of being sick. They're over their continuous battle with being overweight. You know, the diet and nutrition industry has been offering solutions, quote unquote, for decades that have been more aimed really at making money than improving the health of people. And I think people are finally catching on and really getting tired of getting the runaround. The more people who discover what I consider really is this hidden secret, the fact that our bodies were actually created to heal themselves and our natural food system was created to support that process. The more people that realize that, I think the more people will find a hope and a fulfillment in their lives they never knew existed. And the data and research doesn't lie. It's no doubt compelling. But those personal testimonies and stories that are popping up really across this movement, I think that's what's giving the research teeth now and a message that's relatable to people far and wide. And that is a fire that I think can't help but spread. It certainly has in our community.
That's terrific. Do you think we've reached the tipping point yet, or do we have a ways to go before that comes?
I think we have a ways to go. There's a lot of challenges ahead of us. It's obviously a political challenge. You know mm-hmm. I deal with our local school district and trying to encourage some of these things. But one of their big funders is a dairy supporting company that supports their exercise. And, there's really large organizations that have a lot of money and a lot of voice and control and influence that are pushing sort of opposite messages, largely to make money and be profitable, which I guess, is the point of every business. But I think we have a long way to go because we don't have quite as much money as they do to help support the health movement. You know, for us, we're mm-hmm. a not-for-profit government hospital. We're just trying to cover our cost and fund our mission. We certainly don't have the millions of dollars backing our movements and our education efforts as some of those larger companies do. And so I think we have a ways to go, maybe until healthcare begins to make this shift and more mm-hmm. and more hospitals, healthcare systems, physicians are able to be successful and fund this mission even more and drive this message home even more to maybe at least compete with the other side, the conflicting arguments out there. But I think we're pretty early on still.
What about the acceptance of this message among your peers and physicians and things like that? Where do you see that standing now? Is that growing significantly in your view?
Yes. You know, it's really exciting because at that seminar we had on April 2nd, we had such a mix of people there. We had local business owners, well-known philanthropists, physicians, nurses, average Joes, and everything in between. And I think for the majority of responsible and logical adults that hear this message, they are really confronting information that they didn't know was out there and truths mm-hmm. that they didn't know existed. And they're just encouraged, and it's giving them hope not only for themselves, but for their family members. You know, everyone is dealing with health issues, whether it's them personally,
absolutely.
Their parents, their grandparents, their kids. I mean, cancer and Alzheimer's and MS and all these health issues are rampant in our community. So for people to actually start hearing answers that make sense and reasonings behind why everyone seems to be getting sick lately, I think, you know, most people are really encouraged and inspired by the information. And for our, in the clinical world, for the physicians and the nurses, the dietitians that have been confronted with this, the majority of them are large, logical, smart adults, and they see the data and they see the research and they can't help but deny it. And they're like, wow, you know, I wish someone would have taught me this when I started, when I was in medical school or when I started my practice. Because for what we've seen for a lot of our physicians, this is a new tool to give their patients hope again. I know for Dr. Staten Autry, one of the lead proponents of this movement in our area, he says that it's made him excited to practice medicine again, because before it was, you know, someone's diagnosed with congestive heart failure or coronary artery disease or whatever it may be, and that's your life sentence. Sorry, that sucks. You made some bad decisions in your life, and now you're stuck with this medication for the rest of your life.
There
and
you
that
go.
Was all they could offer, and now you got to have this surgery, and hopefully you don't have to have these three others, but many do. But now it's like, no, we can stop this. We can prevent this. We can reverse this. And it gives patients hope again. And for physicians that really got into the business, which most of them did, to help people, it's like, wow, now we can actually help people and not just answer the immediate issue, but the long-term issue and give them their life back, which, as I said in the beginning, people that go into healthcare business, that's what they really want. They want people to be healthy. They don't want to treat them for the same thing over and over again. They want them to
absolutely.
Move on and have vibrant lives. So many of our physicians, our clinicians, our nurses, upon being presented with this information, which has been more and more lately, are getting on board, wanting to learn more, you know, trying to get involved and get more information.
That's fantastic. And your personal story is just really moving and hopeful. I'm so happy to hear that it's having such a great beneficial effect for you personally with your health challenges. Do you have anything in conclusion that you'd like to say to the people that are listening?
I don't think so in particular. You know, I think we covered most of it. It's just, to me, it's this light that was shined in my life, you know, the end of last year at a time when I really needed it. And since then, I have encountered so many others that are getting new diagnoses, or their family members are getting diagnosed with new disease, or their disease processes are worsening and they can't make it any better. And if we could just share this hope and encouragement with people that there is an answer and there is a solution and there is a way to climb out of these holes and regain a healthy and vibrant life with your family, that's what makes me excited to spread the word and encourage people. And at the end of the day, they can make their own decision, you know, and everyone's going to make a different decision, but at least they won't have to end up in our critical care unit on life support not knowing they had a choice. And that, I think, is my personal mission, the mission of my colleagues, the mission of our healthcare system. Educate as many people as possible on the fact that they have a choice. You don't have to succumb to these disease processes that are running rampant in your family, in your society. You can stop it, and you can regain a healthy life, and it's up to you and the choices that you make.
Well, that's fantastic. It's been great talking to you, Marcy, and I thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy, and it's just been wonderful talking to you, and I'm sure a lot of people who hear this are going to be inspired by it. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate it.